Speaking of children's movies and sounds of your childhood, we're going to be looking at the books your children might like to read at the moment. So joining us yet again is Rowan Sipkin. She is a retired school teacher, and she is also a volunteer at the National Centre for Australian Children's Literature. Rowan, welcome back to Afternoons on what's a very musical day. Have you got a favourite musical?
I don't think you can go past Sound of Music.
Ah, yes.
But I also have just recently seen Come From Away, the Canadian one in Melbourne.
What's that about?
That's about 9/11, when the planes couldn't fly into America. So they were diverted to Gander in Canada. And all of a sudden, all these strange 38 planes filled with strangers turned up, and this little town looked after them. And it's just a fun, from what is a really sad event, they made the most of it and they looked after everyone. And it was about the relationships that were built, and it was really good.
Sounds amazing. But today, you know, even though you've got a lot of musical knowledge to share with us, today we're looking at your knowledge of children's literature. And what are we looking at today? We're looking at...
Today it's information
books. Information books,
yes. So those wonderful non-fiction books that young people might like to dip into to find out about topics that are of interest to them. And the first one I've chosen is Kids Who Did by Kirsty Murray, which was previously published as Tough Stuff about 20 years ago, but has been revamped, I suppose, and it's got a bit about climate change. So it's true stories about kids who've done extraordinary things. So and it covers all bases. So it's kids who have protested, they've prayed, they've saved lives, they've rebelled, they've fought, they've been fearless, they've been crusaders. And they're all short stories that really hook readers from about 8 and older in, and they're just great stories.
So they're talking about kids that are roughly their age?
Yes, some of them are from just recently, young people to into their teens, and the extraordinary things that they have done. For example, there's one called Billy and the Bull, and it's about father and son. The father is pushed over by a bull and badly injured. His legs are paralysed, and he's telling his son to get away. But his young son, Billy, who was only 9, beats the bull off, drags his father away, and manages to get on the radio and call for help and save his father's life. Just an amazing story of courage.
Yeah, and it must really hook the kids in, as you say. You're on Afternoons, and with you is Rowan Sipkin. She is a volunteer from the National Centre of Australian Children's Literature and a retired teacher. She's taking us through information books and the moon.
Very relevant.
And even like when you explain to them, they've grown up knowing that people have landed on the moon, but the whole 50th anniversary has just put a whole new lens on it for so many kids.
Yes, because they haven't known a time when people haven't managed to land on the moon. And I suppose we're not doing it at the moment. We're doing other space exploration. So it's a really interesting topic. And this book is by Brian Sullivan and Jackie French. Now, we all know Jackie French. Well, Brian is married to Jackie, but he was a technician at Honeysuckle Creek at the time of the moon landing. So he tells the story of the people that were there. There's really old photos, so you can see how old the machinery was and the technology. And when you look at the technology compared with what we have now, you wonder that they actually even got off Earth. And it's full of little photos, snippets, little cartoony type diagrams, lots of information. So it's one of those books you can just dip into, read a couple of pages, and then just flick over for something else that interests you. Really fascinating book for those 8 and older, and especially if you're in Canberra, because then you can go out for visits and see what, you know, the space history that we have in Canberra.
And there's so much to look at as well here in the ACT. So what is that called again?
That's To the Moon and Back.
Great.
By Brian Sullivan with Jackie French.
And if someone's not necessarily fascinated by space and the moon, gee, you get some kids that are obsessed with trains.
Absolutely.
I had one of those.
This book called All Aboard, True Train Tales, is by Pauline Deaves, who's a local author. And It's a book in two parts. It's a story of a little boy who visits his grandpa, and they're worried about this train museum, and that there's no funding for it. So Jack and his grandfather decide to raise money, and it's the story of raising money weaves its way through. But each chapter has really interesting illustrations, but there's little diagrams, photos from the past, talks about building the railway, puts in job advertisements for being a fettler or a train driver or a conductor.
A fat controller?
Yes. Really interesting information about how they sent messages. There's maps, there talks about the convicts, talks about the salt and sugar train, the Ghan, all kinds of trains throughout Australia. So for anyone who has even the slightest interest in trains, this is a really interesting book. So another book for the 8 years and older.
That's right. And it will save you if you have a train-obsessed child in your life. You're on Afternoons on ABC Radio Canberra. We're going through some of the top picks from Rowan Sipkin from the National Centre of Australian Children's Literature when it comes to information books for kids. Now, this next one looks at earth science, does it?
That's right. It's called Australian Backyard Earth Scientist, and it's by Peter McGuinness. And I could imagine this would be a really good book to take with a family on a camping trip, because there's lots of things to look for, to study. There's maps, diagrams. There's even lots of little experiments that you can do. It's for older students, so probably from 10 years older right through into high school. But it also is such interesting information and looking at the rock formations. So anywhere in Australia that you'd go to, there would be interesting information there that would match the place you're visiting. It talks about evaporation, water chemistry, snow, the water cycle, wind, water, extreme temperatures and what they do to the earth. And it's got a lovely little bit on what all the ologists are.
I want one of those. I want an ologist list.
Yeah. There's a sedimentologist, a geologist, a seismologist, and it gives a description of each of them. So just flicking through that was really interesting as well. And the photos are excellent.
Fantastic. So that's one for what age group were we looking at for that?
Probably 10 and older, but if you are doing it as a family, even younger ones, they like rocks as well. So.
Okay. Now this next one, not for anyone who might have a bit of a weak stomach.
This is quite an old book now, and it's called Sick As, Bloody Moments in the History of Medicine. And it's
sounds fabulous.
Oh, it's gross. Totally gross. It's written by Gail Jennings and it's illustrated by Roland Harvey, and it talks about the history of medicine and the things that they've discovered over the years. For example, before antibiotics, in 1536, barber surgeons, because they were barbers and sort of surgeons, as you would be, he pours boiling oil onto the open wound to stop the bleeding. And then it's supposed to neutralise the gunshot poison. And so you get the sizzle of burning flesh.
Oh, God.
And a smell reminiscent of Dad's Saturday barbecue.
Oh.
It is just revolting. The diagrams are really quite amusing. It shows the sort of about the stethoscope and how it really works, and all the blood and guts. And
so, but it's like a cartoon type diagram. So you're not
yes.
going to see graphic
no,
pictures.
No, there's no photos.
No photos of flesh being burned by hot oil.
It's like the Horrible History series and those ones, but this one is just about medicine, and it's in quite a big format. And it's just totally gross. And it's
let's
the sort
face
of
it.
Book that 8 to 12-year-olds just adore.
And trying to outgross each other. Oh, what about this bit? What about this bit?
Yeah, so really. And leeches used for bleeding and maggots and, yeah.
Okay, so my apologies if you're listening to ABC Radio Canberra and you're trying to enjoy some afternoon tea. Surprisingly, we're talking about books for your kids. And with you is Rowan Simpkin. She's a retired teacher and she's also a volunteer at the National Centre for Australian Children's Literature. For this next book, Rowan, I've got a bit of a soundtrack. Do you know what that is? It's the sound of cicadas. And this next book is about just that.
That's right. Searching for Cicadas by Leslie Gibbs and Judy Watson. It's a new book. It's a picture book, but it's interesting in that it's designed to have it's got two fonts. So one font tells the story of a little boy and his grandpa who are going cicada watching, and another font gives you the facts about what cicadas are. Like, a cicada is a large flying insect. It has a stout body with six legs and two pairs of wings that fold over its back. So they go camping and they're looking for cicadas, which seems to be an activity that they do every year.
It's kind of fun, though, you hear them and you try and track down the sound, and then you try and build up enough bravery. Even though they're a relatively harmless insect, they're kind of big and they're scratchy.
Yeah. And then when they leave their shell behind.
Oh, that's so cool.
I used to love collecting the shells. And in this book, they talk about the whole life cycle of a cicada. So for someone who's interested, who's been hearing these insects as a background to their summer, it talks about their life cycle and how they live underground, and then they have their, for some of them, for up to 13 years, and then they become an adult in the one night. And there's interesting names for them, such as the rare one that this little boy is really looking for is called the Black Prince, but there's others called Greengrocers, Flowery Bakers, Yellow Mondays, and then of course the rare Black Prince. And the little boy is lucky enough to see that with his grandfather. So there's detailed drawings of what each of these cicadas look like. So you could go out into the forest in a summer night and actually look for the cicadas and be able to identify them.
And Rowan, for people who are interested in looking more into children's books and events that that the National Centre for Australian Children's Literature are holding, whereabouts do we go for that kind of info?
The centre has a website, ncacl.org.au, and under events there, it has all the different types of events that are coming up, and especially as, you know, Book Week's coming up and things like that. But we do have a really interesting event in September about the importance of family diversity in Australian children's picture books. And someone who's doing her PhD, Sarah Jane McCrisky, will be talking on September the 17th. And then anyone who is a Bob Graham fan, the centre holds a huge collection of all his original artworks, his scribbles, scrawls, drafts, dummy books, final books, the translations at the centre. And I'm doing a talk about those on the 25th of September. And anyone's welcome, and you'll be able to get up really close and personal and see the little scratchings and drafts that Bob Graham does in his beautiful books.
That sounds fantastic, but I have to admit, when you mentioned Book Week there, I got a bit of a knot in my stomach. It means dress-ups in our household as well, but if you want inspiration on what to celebrate during Book Week, then why don't you take Rowan's suggestion and go to the National Centre for Australian Children's Literature website. You might get some inspiration there. Rowan, thanks so much for joining us again on Afternoons.
Thank you.
That's Rowan Simpkin. She is a volunteer at the National Centre for Australian Children's Literature and a retired teacher herself. So she's read a few of these books.